We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, our Paul Hamilton joins us here. Lindy Ruff down at 1 p.m. down at KeyBank Center. Going to have an introductory press conference, a reintroductory, I guess. No one really needs an introduction here in Buffalo to Lindy Ruff, but for his new title, which was his old title, head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Paul, right now on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I'm actually curious how it's going to go today, Paul, because Lindy's going to be all smiles, and these things are always, you know, happy moments for anybody. But it's also going to be a kind of a him seeing a lot of people he already knows, like you and Adam Bonini and people who've covered him and been here a long time and, you know of his work. And it's going to be kind of a little bit different than most kind of introductory news conferences for a head coach.
I'm trying to think, if Tim Graham's there, he would be one, and it would just be me, Mike Harrington, and Adam Bonini. And I think that's it.
Worrell?
That's all he would know in the media.
Also,
John Worrell?
John Worrell, yes.
John Worrell. He would know him. And then James, the security guy that they showed a video of him shaking hands with coming in. He knows he's going to know arena people, too, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. He will know arena people. There's no question.
Rip Simonic.
But Paul, but even having four or five people, like, I mean, you guys covered him when he was here, and people know him. And even if someone isn't necessarily who is someone in the media. So let's say our good buddy Bove, right? Bove's coming up at 11:05. He's headed down there today. I mean, Matt Bove grew up watching him. He knows everything about Lindy Ruff that he needs to know. And then he goes there and he might be meeting him for the first time. But this is a little different because this guy has such a body of work here. Everybody's so familiar with him. So what do we want to learn from Lindy Ruff? What do we want to know from Lindy Ruff? What's going to be the line of questioning down there today? I'm very curious about that. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess this means I'm old, but I've covered Lindy Ruff longer than anybody has in the history of the Sabres. I go, and that's easily, I'm the only one who even goes 30 years, because I covered him as a player. I always say I was there for for Lindy's second year, and people think I'm talking about as a coach. It's like, no, as a player.
Amazing. So, 1981, that would be, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been a long time, you know, that I've been around Lindy Ruff, and you know, I was here when he was the captain, and then, you know, he comes back as the head coach and stays for, what, 15 years? And even, you know, as coaching at other places, you know, anytime he would come in, we'd chat and talk about whatever. And, you know, so it's and here we are full circle.
So what do we need to find out about Lindy Ruff? I mean, what are the pressing questions? Joe and I were just talking about certain players, like what happens with Jeff Skinner. He's not going to tell you today, oh, yeah, I see Jeff Skinner on the top six or buying him out. He's not going to say things like that. But what do we want to find out about Lindy now that we know his body of work, you know where he's been, he's coming to this organization? Like, what do we need to learn about him at this point, or how it's going to go with him?
The biggest one I'd be wondering about is, what can he do to make Rasmus Dahlin what he should be? And Rasmus Dahlin is already a very, very good player. But Rasmus Dahlin, when he came up and was being drafted, was supposed to be the best young defenseman around and a guy that was just going to take over the NHL on defense. And that hasn't happened. I mean, Quinn Hughes is the best young defenseman around, and Cale Makar, those guys. And I mentioned this on the air before, that Quinn Hughes was in Dahlin's draft. And with hindsight that we have now, if they redid the draft, Quinn Hughes is the number one overall pick easily. It's not even close. You know, so, you know, I'd be very interested to see what Lindy Ruff can do to unlock more out of Rasmus Dahlin than the good player he is now. But I think there's more out of Rasmus Dahlin. I think he can be better. And I'm very, very curious to see what Lindy Ruff can do with him.
Yeah, Dahlin at the top of that list, Paul. Maybe below that, Power and Byram as well. And I'm trying to think, like, has he ever been tasked with, as the Sabres coach, with, hey, can you kind of maximize these highly talented defensemen? I feel like it may be just in terms of where they were picked. It's not like his Sabre teams in the past had these, you know, top overall pick defensemen that they were trying to get the most out of.
Yeah, and I think everybody, or not everybody, there are people a lot more worried about Power than I am, only because I use Rasmus Dahlin as the example. It took him 3 to 4 years to become what he is now. And that was only the second season for Owen Power. And I thought as the season went on, he played much better. You know, he didn't start off real well. But I thought as the season went on, he was pretty solid. So, I you know, being only a second-year NHL defenseman, I'm not extreme. Now, he didn't have the pedigree where he came in like Dahlin. I mean, yeah, Owen Power is the number one overall pick, but I don't ever expect him to be like Makar or Quinn Hughes or Dahlin. He's a different type of defenseman, and those kind of players only come around once every little bit. So I don't think Power is going to be that, but, you know, I think if he continues on the upward slide that he was in the second half of the season this year, he'll be just fine. I just don't have the worry about Power that everybody else does, and everybody has really short memories. They forgot. I mean, if the Sabres would have given up on – there are some people who want to give up on Power at his age now, and if the Sabres would have given up on Mittelstadt and Thompson at age 23, and Power's not even age 23 – they'd be doing what they're doing somewhere else, like Mittelstadt is now, but at least you made a trade, you know, to get something back. It was you got value out of that player. But they were late bloomers, too. I mean, Tage Thompson went from 8 goals to 37 goals, you know, in 1 year. So sometimes it takes players a little bit longer, but I don't even think in Power's case it's taking a little bit longer. He's just developing. And, you know, it was his second year in the league. He's going to be inconsistent, and I really am not worried about him at all.
Paul, we know that Terry Pegula has always had an affinity for Lindy Ruff. I remember the quote when he got here and he said, Lindy ain't going nowhere. I think is how he said it. And of course, a few years later, that changed, and that's what happens in the business. Lindy Ruff gets fired from New Jersey. There was not some sort of huge extensive search that we know of. Maybe they talked to a lot more people that we know of or anything like that. There's going to be a question of, was it Terry Pegula just said, go get me Lindy Ruff? Was it Kevin Adams who said, hey, look, it, Lindy's available? Was it a combination of both? How do you see all of that and how it played out?
I would say it was a combination of both. You know, they talked about it, and I just slightly surprised Lindy Ruff would even want to come back the way he was treated with his firing. I mean, that was as bush league as it came. I mean, they had practice. He talked to the media. They're going to take a bus to go to Toronto, and Lindy goes home to pick up some things, and they used to take the bus from the Marriott in Amherst to go to Toronto. And Darcy Regier was forced to go over to his house and fire him before he went to the bus. And then he did go to the bus to say goodbye to the players. And I thought, wow, That's how you treat a guy who, and I don't think Darcy Regier wanted to, but I think he was forced to. And I thought, that's how you treat a guy who's been around for 15 years. And I, in the back of my mind, I say to myself, I'm a little surprised that Lindy Ruff would want to run it back with when that happened to him.
Can I just say this one second, though? I remember that day. I remember the day it happened. I was driving home in a snowstorm from a Syracuse basketball game, and we were listening to it in the coverage on WGR, and you and Shope and Bulldog and everybody. But I do remember when Lindy spoke about it, he said, when Darcy came to his house, he just looked at him and said, I know. Like, I know why you're here. And he didn't seem to, like, this is, when you're telling me this, I'm kind of surprised now. I didn't realize this because there never seemed to be any resentment towards that from him. And I think he even had, like, a post-firing press conference, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, no, you're right. There wasn't. And as I said, I'm mildly surprised by that because I don't think you treat people that way. That's just me. That's the way I feel. But Lindy, I guess, was fine with it. And I just thought, why did you let him go through practice and talk to the media and then go home and get packed and ready to go. And as he's leaving, catch him as he's coming out of the house, and that's how you do it. It rubbed me the wrong way and still does even talking about it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Go ahead, Joe.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. What do you expect in terms of style, Paul, given his track record, what the team is currently constructed as right now? I feel like we just kind of went through a year of confusion a little bit, like trying to figure out all year what the Sabres wanted to be. What do you think Lindy will want them to be?
Well, I knew what they wanted to be, and Don Granato knew what they wanted to be, but one of the criticisms that I had of Don Granato was there was no plan B. It became rather obvious after 2 years that his team was not going to do it, whether they couldn't get it, because when they played it well, but it was so few times that they would play it, that it was just like, well, maybe your team just can't do it. Maybe they can't figure it out or whatever it is. And so maybe you need to change some things to mold to your team. That right there is what we're talking about here. And Lindy Ruff was, everybody thought he was a defensive coach. And I always would say to anybody who would tell me that, look it up. I mean, he had some teams that led the league in scoring because he would mold to what he had. Now, when Dominic Hasek was around and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, yeah, they had Miroslav Šetin who had 40 goals, but they didn't have a lot of guys who scored a lot of goals. It was more scoring by committee. Dixon Ward would score you a big goal sometimes. Michael Pekka would score you a big goal sometimes. It would be around the lineup a little bit. So you couldn't really have an all-out offense with that type of a group. And then that group in the playoffs would come through and score some big goals for you. So that was more of a defensive team. But then you come in here with Briere and Drury and Vanek and Roy and Pominville. And it's like, well, wait a minute here. We can score some goals with this team. You know, and those are the teams that did score some goals. So I think there's proof right there that he's the type of coach that can mold to what his players are.
All right, Paul, in football, obviously, when you have coaching changes, one of the things that always gets asked is about control of the 53, control of the roster. We don't talk about that in hockey as much because it doesn't work the same way with the draft and coming in from the college and, you know, practice squads and things like that. But how much of a say do you think Lindy will have in kind of what happens and how the offseason is shaped? We talked about Jeff Skinner. You just mentioned a couple of guys that, you know, what you're going to get from them. You have a goaltending situation with Levi playing really well in Rochester, a young guy coming up, but a UPL, you know, contract situation here. How much will that communication, and if you can just kind of maybe tell fans how it generally works in hockey versus in football, where that's usually sometimes it can be a point of contention between a GM and a head coach and who controls things.
Yeah, no, he won't. What will happen is what Adams, I think, did with Granato. If he was interested in a player, he would talk to his staff, he would talk to the analytics department, and he would talk to Granato. What do you think of this guy? You know, how did you used to play against him in the NHL? Did you have him in the U.S. program? There were a lot of those that Granato coached in the U.S. program. And then Granato would give his opinion and you know, really go out and say, yeah, I would really go out and get that guy. And then, of course, Adams would make the final decision on, you know, with all the information he gathered. I don't see that changing at all. You know, contracts, that's up to Adams. I mean, Lindy Ruff's not going to get involved in that.
Okay, but what if he says, here's my example. What if he tells Kevin Adams, I don't think I can work with Jeff Skinner. I've watched his game, And Kevin Adams now has a decision to make on how Lindy wants to run his team with a guy who, we just said it, Paul, he can go anywhere from being in the top six to being bought out this summer. Like, what if that situation happens, how does it usually work, and how would it work in a situation like this, do you think?
I would guess if that's a situation or any situation like it, it's already been talked about before he took the job.
That's fair.
That, you know, here's player A. I just think he doesn't fit the team at all. I don't think I can really work with him. I can't do much with him. And then they would decide, well, okay, can you be the coach? Or, you know what, hey, don't worry about it, Lindy. We're planning on doing something with player A anyway. So I would hope that would be a conversation that's already been had before Lindy Ruff would have the job. Because it would be kind of awkward if Lindy Ruff rolls in training camp and say, what's he doing
here?
I can't coach this guy. You know, so, you know, I would hope that conversation's already been had that – now, 2 years in, there might be a guy that comes up like that and say, you know, I've tried with this guy. You know, it's been a year and a half, 2 years. I can't get this guy to go. You know, we got to move him. He's hurting the team, and this is why. Boom, 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 boom. So, you know, that would be a conversation they would have. But Kevin Adams is big on information, big on conversations. He wants to challenge people around him, and he wants people around him to challenge him, you know, so he doesn't want to hear everybody agreeing with him all the time. Let's sit at a table and I'm going to say this, and everybody goes, yeah, you're right, Kevin. Yeah, you're right, Kevin. That's great. That's not what he wants to hear. He wants to hear genuine opinions from all departments. And then, you know, he takes that information and makes a decision that he thinks is best.
Do you expect we'll hear anything about goaltending today? You think it's too early for those types of questions about how he'll operate? Because I know, you know, again, we're going to be reaching for Lindy's pass for a lot of this stuff, how he will treat a number one versus a rotation. And I don't know, if Levi's here next year, I'll be interested to see like what kind of workload they'll give him versus UPL.
Levi's doing great in Rochester, playing really well. How that translates, we'll find out in training camp. And yeah, it's too early. I mean, he's got to find out in training camp. I think if Levi continues to play well and brings it up to the NHL level, I think you've got a Bruins situation on your hands where they basically have Swayman and Allmark. I think they played 44 and 40 games between the two of them. And for 2 years, they've been alternating. And one of the reasons after Swayman played really well in Game 1, they went to Allmark in Game 2, is they didn't want to make the mistake they made last year when they threw Allmark in net, and he lost them a series. And everybody's like, well, all year long you alternated these two goalies, and in the playoffs you decide just to throw Allmark in, and that's what happens. So I think, you know, the Bruins decided, well, you know, we're going to continue to do what we've done all along with these goalies, and I would imagine Swayman gets Game 3. I could very much see that with the Sabres, where Lukanen and Levi go in an alternating situation, and as long as both are playing really well, it doesn't matter. But if one is still playing quite a bit better than the other, or Levi isn't quite ready for that type of a situation, I think now they know they've got a guy in Lukanen who can ride it. And I know Lindy Ruff, well, look at the goalies he had. It's a situation where it's hard to say because he had Dominik Hasek and Ryan Miller. Why is he going to the backup? You know, those guys, he's going to ride them. So that's what he did in Buffalo. But then he goes to New Jersey. I think he was fair. It was not fair that he got fired. He was not the person who didn't go out and get a goalie, and not having a goalie absolutely killed the Devils this year. And then Lindy Ruff takes the blame for it. And I thought that was hugely unfair.
Paul, do you know what the timeline would be on when we'd hear about any assistant coaching changes, staff changes, things like that? I know today usually isn't a day for that, but sometimes it happens pretty quickly after a guy's introduced as well.
Yeah, you know, I think they will add an assistant coach, whoever that might be. I'm sure it won't be today. That would be down through the summer. And, you know, what do you want to do with the assistant coaches that are here? He knows Matt Ellis very well because Matt Ellis played for Lindy Ruff. And he knows what Matt Ellis knows about hockey, and maybe if he wants to keep him on the coaching staff, what he can do to utilize Matt Ellis's talents. So, you know, I think that's I'm sure, again, was already discussed. Marty did a great job, I thought, with the defense for the most part. And, you know, they really defensively, really improved as the year went on, especially after January 1st. And I think that's why he's still here. And Jason Christie was
By the way, so people know, Marty Wilford is the defensive coach. Not Marty Biron here talking about. Marty Wilford. Just so everybody knows. Well, yeah, we had Marty on the station last hour. That's okay. Marty Wilford, the defensive assistant. That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, Marty Wilford, I thought did a real good job and seems to know hockey very well. It wouldn't surprise me if he remained on the coaching staff. And look what Mike Bales did. You know, I made a mistake last year in the offseason. I kind of thought Mike Bales should have been let go. And I would have been wrong because look what he did with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen this year. And look what he did to help Devin Levi improve. You know, I think as the season went on, Devin Levi's a much better goalie. So I don't see any reason why, you know, he wouldn't still be around.
All right, Paul, 1 o'clock. Are we expecting to hear from Kevin Adams other than just introducing Lindy Ruff? Will he answer questions? Is this just Lindy? Do we know what's happening today?
They'll both be up there, and you can direct the questions at either one. So, yeah, they'll both be answering questions. And they usually do that. It's going to be out in the atrium, which when they hire a coach or a GM, it's bigger. So, I mean, as you know, fans won't know, but the media room is like a closet. It's just a room that they had forgotten to do a media room, so they basically did make a closet into a room, and there's just not enough room for it, so they do it out in the atrium, which is nice and roomy, and you have plenty of space.
All right, Paul, thanks. We'll be listening for you today and looking for your reports. Thanks a lot.
Take care, guys.
All right, you got it. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk briefly and then go to another timeout before we get Matt Bove from Channel 7 WKBW here on The Extra Point Show on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.